The legacy of Pete. John 14, 27. Jesus said, "Peace I live with you, I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you." Before we look at that, let's bow our heads and ask God to open up our minds and hearts. Lord, we do thank you that we have so many promises, and I just want to look at this one part of verse 27 and open it up. Would you help us, Holy Spirit, to understand this peace, this legacy of peace that Christ left us? Walk amongst us, and if there's one here today who doesn't know Christ as Savior, again, we pray, Lord, that today you would stir their hearts or even call them into your kingdom. And for others, Lord, we pray that they may be blessed by understanding what peace really is and how they can obtain it. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to all of us here and let us from these simple words, but important words and rare words, that we would get a blessing. Let us leave with a blessing. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, I give to you. I want to ask you all a question. There you go, y'all, right? I want to ask you all a question. Where's the peace? You know, there was a commercial once that said, "Where's the beef?" They're talking about a hamburger place, right? Where's the beef? Well, we could say, "Where is the peace?" Not a lot of peace in the world today, is there? Actually, there's never been a lot of peace in the world. Why? Because the world has fallen. I want to tell you something. I don't know if you'll agree with this or not, but I certainly think it's true. Of all the treasures on this planet, by far, the greatest is not gold, it's not platinum, it's not precious gems, none of it. The greatest treasure on this earth is peace, period. Nothing trumps it. Nothing's more valuable, nothing. There are people that have more money than they could ever spend in five lifetimes, but they have no peace. We see it all the time. Let me tell you, since the fall in Eden, since man fell from God's grace in Eden, peace is the rarest commodity on earth. In Genesis 4:8, this is how we know it's true. In Genesis 4:8, right after they came out of Eden, what's the first event we read about? Cain killing Abel. No peace there. And then in Genesis, a couple chapters up, chapter 6, verses 5 through 7, it says that man's heart was continually evil, and it repented God that he made him. So what did he do? He destroys man and the world and everything on the world except 8 people and a boatload of critters. No peace there. Throughout history, throughout recorded history, man's been killing, stealing, and at war with something or someone all the time. Oh, there was a part in history called Pax Romana, when the Roman Empire supposedly endured 200 years of no wars. Maybe that happened in the Roman Empire, but the Roman Empire didn't own the world, and there were wars going on all over the place outside of the empire. There's always been wars. And I'll give you a good example. Over the last 150 years, we've had World War I, we've had World War II, we've had the Korean War, we've had the Vietnam conflict, we've had Afghanistan, we've had Iraq, we've had Panama. There's so many wars that we fought in the last 150 years. I'm just mentioning a few. No peace there either. None. And today, in the 21st century, this November 5th, look what's going on in our world today. Everywhere you look, all they're doing is rattling swords, dropping bombs, and shooting people. No peace there, none. Do you know why there's no peace? Anybody know why, besides June? Because there's a spiritual hole in the unregenerate heart where God used to be. When God made Adam, he made him for a reason. He made him to worship God. He made God, Adam to worship God. So he put the love of God in his heart. But when Adam sinned against him, he wanted to be God himself. God separated from him, and there's that hole. And man, ever since the fall in Eden, has been trying to stick stuff in that spiritual hole to try to fill it, and he can't. You want proof of that? The world has always been filled with religion. Everywhere. There's never been a time when there wasn't a religion. Why? Because eternity is imprinted on man's heart. I think it's Ecclesiastes 3:11, I think. But the fact is, it has been. So people want to worship. They just don't want to worship this, the God of this book. So there's no peace. No peace whatsoever in this world. But most importantly, there's no peace in 99.9% of the people in this world within themselves. Not just in the community or the country. There's no peace in people. Why do you think people are angry? When I was a kid, I never heard of road rage. If somebody did something fresh, you had it out, you talked about it, you walked away, that was it. Today they shoot you, or they take a baseball bat and break your windows. Why? No peace there. They have no hope. Hope and peace go together like peanut butter and jelly. And if you really, you can have one without the other, but it's not as much fun. And the same happens spiritually. They have no hope, no peace. That's why mankind has been at war with himself and others since the fall in Eden. That's the reason why. But God is merciful. He is merciful. To end the war, what did God do? He gave the world a mediator, Jesus Christ. We just talked about that in our communion. Proof verses John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's a mediator. And in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the life, and nobody comes to the Father but by me. Nobody. That's the peace. He's the mediator. That's the only peace. Why? Because it's not man's peace. Have you ever seen man's peace ever hold up for generations and generations? No. Man's peace is as conditional as his heart is. Only God's peace, only that peace, is unconditional and never wavers. And by the way, man has been trying to make peace. You know, they thought, well, we're going to get some nuclear weapons now. We're getting educated, so we'll have this thing called MAD, Mutual Arms Destruction, or whatever it's called. So everybody has bombs, and they're all afraid to drop them, because if they drop them, everybody's going to drop them on them. That didn't bring any peace. It just made bigger bombs. There's no peace there. But you know what? There is a peace to those people that are hostile to God, that all they have to do is think about this. Just think about this. Romans 5:10 tells us where each and every one of you believers that are listening were. It says, for if, when we were enemies, when I was an enemy to God, I was hostile to God, I want to know nothing about God, you know, you're religious, keep your religion. When I was that person, it says in 5:10, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled would be saved by his life. I was reconciled to God, and so were you. You know what that means? That means God brought my hostility down. I saw him as the creator and the sovereign God, and I looked at myself and what I had done in my life against him, and that's what brought me to my knees. That's what brought all of you to your knees. You can never know God unless you know you're a sinner, because that's the only way you can repent. If you think that your good works are going to get you somewhere, or there's no God, or there's this, or there's that, poppycock, it'll get you nothing. You have to realize who you are. And by the way, there isn't a human being that's of the age of understanding that doesn't realize that he's a sinner. We're all sinners. We come into this world a sinner. And there's no peace for sinners. I thought I had peace for 49 years. I thought, hey, you know what? I'm doing okay. I have peace. I do what I want. I have a couple bad days, but generally I'm in a pretty good mood. That's not peace. That's survival mode. I'm like a little fox. I just want to live to another day. That's what I did anyway. In our text, look at our text. Jesus' promises to his people is, this is God promising his people. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. And you know why he said, not as the world gives? The world promises peace all the time. Oh, you know, countries are supposed to be sovereign. We used to be sovereign. We're not sovereign anymore, but we used to be sovereign, and we had a certain security thing, and we had a relative peace. But it was relative. It was relative to who was in Washington. That's true. And when the wrong people get in power, what happens? You don't have any more peace. Now you're talking about the United States being a civil war. You got the left, you got the right, you didn't get the shots, you got the shots, well, you're killing everybody. There's no peace. Am I painting that picture pretty clear? You guys getting it? No peace, none. In the world you live in today, even as a Christian, the only peace a Christian has is what's in their heart. And it's because of who's in your heart. But in the world you live in today, there is no peace. Make no mistake about it. And there will never be any peace in this world. Never. In our text, he says, I give it to you. Now, I want to tell you, when he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you, I give. You know what that is? He was leaving us a legacy of peace. And the way he did it, he signed it with his blood. The spiritual ink that wrote the peace treaty between man and God in Hebrews 9:22. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. When he died on that cross, his blood penned the ink for the peace treaty between God and man. Now it wasn't just Israel. Now the elect came from all parts of the world. There was a peace treaty signed in the ink used was his blood. And his death and his resurrection paid that for that peace treaty and put it into effect. It went into effect when he died and resurrected and presented his blood on the mercy seat of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him to be sin who knew no sin that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Okay, so what that means is this, simply. From a positional point, every believer is as righteous as God is, the way it'll be in heaven. Right now, you're in a sanctification mode. Right now, you're working on being sanctified. That is, you're working to become more righteous than you were yesterday. You're working to glorify God more tomorrow than you did today. It's a job. We're left here to do that. That's our job. But the wonderful thing about it is, his legacy of peace gives us peace while we do it. That's the most beautiful thing about it. It's not like you go to work and, oh man, I got to put up with that guy all day, or I got to put up with the noise or the smell or something. No, you put up with a dead world and you do it in peace in your heart. Our text, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, is Christ's legacy to his people. It's a gift. Did you know that? Peace is a gift. He left not to everyone, not everyone in the world has this, but only to his disciples while they sojourn here on this lost world. When I say that, the world has peace. You ask any single person if they know what peace is, if they've ever experienced peace, and there won't be one who would say that they didn't. That's true, right? I would say it. Before I was saved, sure, I have peace. No problem at all with peace. I don't have it all the time, but I have my share of it. That's not the peace he's talking about. He says, I don't give you peace the way the world gives you peace. His peace is unconditional, and his peace never changes by condition. Never. It's there. All the time. It's a gift. So, here's a picture. Before he died, he gathered his disciples around him, and he made a will. He declared, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." Matthew Henry, a great commentator, here's what he wrote about Christ's legacy of peace. I found this to be very interesting. He said, "When Christ died, he left a will in which he gave his soul to his Father. He gave his body to Joseph of Arimathea. He gave his clothes to the soldiers, and he gave his mother to John. He gave everything he had away. But to his disciples, who had left everything to follow him, he left not silver or gold, something better. He left his peace." And that's what you have as his disciples, his legacy of peace. And when he cried out on the cross, "It is finished," when he cried that out in a loud voice after 3 hours of taking our sin, by the way, I might add you, wasn't like, "Okay, I'm done, I'm finished." He didn't do that. "It's finished." It was. And when he did that, the legacy of peace went into effect for all of his disciples. And how do we know Christ's legacy of peace is valid? It's for several reasons. Number one, it's valid because there were 11 faithful and trustworthy apostles who witnessed it. I know there's a lot of naysayers. I'd like the naysayers I'd like to ask them this question. Were you there in Japan aboard whatever battleship MacArthur was on? Did you watch him witness the did you see him actually surrender Japan, give him a written form and surrender to America? Did you see that? Did you see Delaware Washington crossing the Delaware? Did you see that? Did you see any of that? Then why do you believe it? Because there was witnesses to it. So what be the difference between that and the 11 witnesses that's testified to it in a book that's been around longer than any other book and has never been refuted? What's the difference? The difference is those things really happened because there were witnesses. The legacy of Christ's peace really happened because there were 11 trustworthy witnesses that witnessed it. That's the first reason. Second, it's also valid because the Bible says that the testator died. Hebrews 9:17 reminds us, a testament is a force after men are dead. In other words, you have a will, if you will. I guess that went good, right? You have a will, if you will, but that will is only in effect after you die. And he did. And he resurrected. That's the next part I'll get to. And we know his legacy is valid because every single believer enjoys genuine peace that comes from being saved. You are a testimony to his legacy of peace. Every single believer. You know what we don't do as Christians, and it's really a shame? We don't look at ourselves as believers. We look at ourselves as Christians, a common name, and today that means very little, at least to me. Living for Christ. If you're living for Christ, you're a very unique person. You have so many things that the world can't even dream about. And the greatest one of them is peace. And you should look at yourself that way every day. You should think of that cross and what it brought into your life every day. Just a little something. Take it as a little breakfast of champions to start your day off. Because in every sense of the word, the champion did give you everything that he had, so you'll get through that day. It's also true that some wills are contested. Yeah, if you've ever drawn up a will, a good lawyer is going to say, well, we got to be careful what we put in it because somebody could contest that, okay? But Christ's will can never be contested or put aside because unlike others who have died and left a legacy, he died and he also resurrected from the dead. So who's going to contest it? The sovereign God Because he's the sovereign God, he has the power to enforce the legacy of his will, the peace. And since his legacy can't be contested, guess what? It's guaranteed to be enforced. It's enforced. And the way God's children claim that legacy, there's only one way, is to put unbelief to death. To put unbelief to death. That's the only way you'll ever find peace. Peace is the polar opposite of unbelief. You have, in order to have that peace that he's talking about, you can't be in a state of unbelief. You can't claim Christ's legacy if you don't believe in it. And believing is the key. How do we know that's true? Because Matthew 21:22 tells us that. Jesus said, and whatever things you ask in prayer, here it comes, believing, you will receive. How many times have you thought, well, I think I'm going to pray for this, walk away, well, it doesn't matter. We talked about that this morning in Bible study. Oh, it doesn't matter. There's no belief in that. When I pray to God and I ask him to give me relief from something that's burdening me or troubling me, whatever he does is okay. I want that burden gone. Why? Because that's how I get my peace back. I don't have peace if I'm burdened. I don't have peace if I'm anxious. I don't have peace if I'm negative. I don't have peace if I'm worrisome. So whenever those events come in my life, I empty it out simply by going to God and saying, Lord, my brother's got a problem and it bothers me, so I pray for him. I pray that you've heard this prayer before the world's reformed. You acted on it in a way that pleased you and glorified you. And I ask you I commit him to you in Jesus' name, amen. And I get the blessing. Why? Because now the burden's gone. I've committed him to God. So whatever God does to him, I know is okay. And if you're praying for a Christian, they know it's okay. That's the beauty of that of the legacy of peace, is that you have prayer to get rid of the burdens so that the peace can flow in. But the key to it is you have to believe. If you don't believe, then it isn't going to happen. Jesus said that in a couple of places. You must believe. Now that begs the question. Are you, as believers, claiming Christ's legacy of peace? Are you claiming it? In other words, somebody tells you, you know, if you come to this church for very long, I'll be telling you all the time of what belongs to you in Christ. It's sort of like one day you get a knock. Hi, Mr. Jones. My name is John. I'm a lawyer, and I represent so-and-so, and he has a will, and... You're in it. I would like to meet you in my office and discuss what you have. Okay? That's a will. And he left something for you. Now, I have to get up the next day and go to that lawyer's office and sit before him, and he's going to say, well, he left you his car, his dog, his cat, and $50. That's what he left you. Okay. Well, I'd be okay with that. I have a responsibility now because he gave it to me. If I say I don't want it, then I'll be burdened with the idea, okay, they're going to euthanize the animals, probably keep the 50, and probably scrap the truck and make some money on it. I wouldn't do it. I would say, okay, I have to claim that. And no matter what it is, I have to claim whatever is bequeathed to me, and so don't you. Nowhere in the Bible does God say, okay, boom, I'm going to give you peace. Just going to give it to you. No. It's there, and you have to claim it because it's Christ's legacy to you. And the way you claim it is you come to him in prayer, you remove the anxieties of your life, and you ask him to fill you with your peace, his peace, every single day and even throughout the day. Lord, my peace is being rattled because of this situation. Would you strengthen me against it? Now I have a new attitude towards what's rattling me. Whether or not he strengthens the peace is irrelevant. What's relevant is that I now can handle that condition better. Do you understand that? That's an important distinction. You have to claim that. Now, the way we know, I asked you, are you claiming it? The way we know we have Christ's peace, very simple. When you're living for Jesus Christ and growing in Him, you have peace. No question about that. When you're not negative, you're positive about everything, even bad things that happen. You don't think when Jesus said at Gethsemane, Father, if this cup passes from me, but not my will, your will be done? It was troubling him. He even said it. His spirit was troubled. But he was never negative. He didn't say, okay, I quit. He didn't do that. You have to understand something, that negativity is unbelief. And you can't have peace with unbelief. You know you have peace when you're navigating your life with spiritual vision. When you look at everything with a spiritual vision, which means that there's a spiritual aspect to everything that happens. People are angry. You don't look at them because, hey, this human being is really annoying me because they're angry. You don't look at it that way. You look at that person and say, that person's angry because something inside of them is hurting. So I think I'll pray for that person. You see why being a Christian makes you a better person? Because you don't get angry at people because they're doing something silly. They can't help it. They don't have what you have. That also brings you peace. And every day, when we anticipate God and see Him in everything, that brings us peace. These are the things that generate Christ's peace in His people. Simple stuff. And there are just a few signals that we have. So regardless of what's going on in your life, the thing you need to understand is Christ's peace is there to help you. You're no longer at war with God. The war is over. You're no longer in bondage to sin or under God's wrath. Bible verses, Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. I'm not bound to sin anymore. When I sin, I commit it willingly and occasionally. It doesn't bind me. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the wrath of God is off me. I don't have to worry about that. And because of God's legacy of peace, you're protected by God. You're protected by God. Romans 8:31, or 31:33. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Do you understand? Everything I just said is what brings you peace. If you don't do it with belief, then you don't have the peace. But if you do it and you believe it, then you do have the peace. Now, again, the naysayer is going to say, well, that's just a trick of your mind. No, okay, let's say it's right. You know, I do this earthing thing now, and what happens is, I don't know if it's true or not, but I don't care. It works, period. I don't care if it's a placebo or if the thing actually takes a little charge out of the ground and electrons go through my body and help me out. I don't care. I care it works. And the same thing applies here. You need to understand that you have this peace that passes all understanding. All you have to do is you have to claim it with believing in God. It's not a mind thing. It's a spirit thing. It comes from your heart. And if you're hostile to God, and you may not even think you're hostile to God, if you haven't come to Christ and said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need your help. I don't want to go to hell when I die. That's all you got to do. Is come to Him, recognize you're a sinner, and ask Him to forgive your sins. How hard is that? There's not one person listening to this online or in this room that hasn't went up to another human being at some point in time and said, you know, I was a dummy. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. We all do that. Why don't we do it with God? Why? If I offend somebody and I don't ask for their forgiveness, not much happens to me if they're just a person. But if you sin against God and you don't ask Him to forgive you, and then you don't accept His sacrifice of His Son's blood to pay that sin debt, if you don't do that, then you have a problem. You have an eternal problem. And that eternal problem is this. You leave this planet with either your sin or you leave it with the blood of Christ. Period. You don't take your money. You don't take your house. You don't. Nobody goes with you. The church ain't going to bail you out. None of it. You either go with your sin or you go with Christ. And if you go with Christ, then the Bible says all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. All the person has to do is say, you know what, Father? And I know what I did. I told him, you know, I didn't hate you. I just thought you were a figment of imagination. But when I think about what I've done in my life and I think about you being there, even before I thought about it, it's not nice to do those things. But now that I've seen you, now that you've put a calling on my heart, that's all I want, is I want to be forgiven. And if he died for me, help me to die for myself. Help me to die to myself, that I might be able to be worthy to be called your son. And I want that peace that passes all understanding. That's all I really want. You give me that, and you give me your son, and I have everything in this world I could ever want. I ask you this in Jesus' name, amen. And he did. That's how difficult it is. So if you're listening to this and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you got a choice. You're going to leave this earth just like everybody else. You're going to either leave it with Christ and his forgiveness, or you're going to leave it with your sin. If you leave it with your sin, the Bible makes it abundantly clear. There's a lake of fire, and the lake of fire is an eternal judgment. Is it real? Yes, it's very real. Why? Because it's written in a book that can't be contested. Number one. And the promise is if you die in your sins, the wrath of God is on you. You can look it up in it's 325. At the end of chapter 3. That all being said, if you want to know more about how you can come to know Christ as your Savior, you need to see me or call me, and I'll show you in his book how he wants to leave you a legacy of peace which will trump anything else you think you have in this world. Nothing matches it. And if any of you ever knew me before, you would know that that's really true. And all of you sitting here, all that know Christ, all of you know where you come from and where you are now. It's not the same. So, with that in mind, see me or call me. And one last thing. Secondly, we know that we have peace of mind. What that means is our conscience is at peace. You know, the conscience convicts us. There was Spurgeon who said, if we only thought about the things that really happen instead of the 10 things that didn't happen, or when we think of the one thing that didn't happen, we die 1,000 deaths. He said, when we think of tomorrow to help us today, all we're doing is weakening today and tomorrow. Our conscience is part of that. You will guilty consciences, we all have them, but when you're saved, it's a different conscience. The Holy Spirit convicts you. And you realize it and you repent of it and it's gone. When I believe and I know I never stand in judgment for my sin, when I know that, I have a sense of pardon. I have a pardon that fills my heart. I almost get giddy. My conscience and my understanding is enlightened. Comes from that peace. My will becomes God's will from that peace. And I feel the indwelling Holy Spirit leading me, helping me, and teaching me every day something. It's for these reasons and many, many more. My life, my soul, and my conscience is at peace. Our Lord Jesus Christ made us joint heirs with him in glory, brothers and sisters. And as we sojourn on this lost world, he gave us his legacy of peace to help us as we journey on our way home. We're not of this world. Let's pray. I can't think of anything, Lord, that brings more joy to a human heart than peace. It trumps even love, because peace is a feeling that, it's an emotion that fills us from our head to our feet. It brings on joy. It brings in hope. There's so many things that it gives birth to. We thank you that Christ left us a legacy of peace, even his peace. Not as the world gives it, did he give it, but his peace. Would you help all of us to claim more of that legacy than we ever have before? Help us to claim more of that peace and put it into our lives and share it with another life. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, we'll sing a couple of verses, 133, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, 133, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, verses 1 and 3. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. On the everlasting arms. And the third, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning. Everlasting arms. Amen. Brother Mike, would you close us in prayer?